God's blessings on you, those that are from out of town. Thank you for being here today. And if you're a first-time guest, you're officially a family member. You're part of the family. Amen. Elder Roth, we've got one here at the front that missed. Right here at the front. Right here. So good to have y'all in the house of God today with us. Pray God's blessings on you. Be sure to pick up a copy of the bulletin this morning. In the bulletin, there's a lot of information that you want to be aware of. The preschool is taking a break last week, and this coming week we'll start back January the 3rd. Be sure to continue to pray for the preschool. It's God's blessing, the preschool, and blessing the vision there that was born many, many years ago, and reaching out to the community through the children and touching the parents and grandparents. We're thankful for that. Amen. And we'll have a bonfire 2 weeks from today at 5:30. And there's a sign-up sheet in the back. I believe we're having seafood, shrimp and oysters, and all the goodies. Shrimp. Maybe oysters. Terry's got an idea for you. Amen. So we're thankful for that. We'll have a great time together. Sign-up sheet. And Michelle, it's good to have your son here from foreign country. We haven't seen you in a long time. Good to see you, man. God bless you. By the way, thank you for your service as well. Thank you. Good to have you with us today. Miss Lisa, a guest of ours, God bless you. Thank you for being here, Lisa. We love you. Amen. Also, a call to action for us to be involved and pray. And in a special way, thank you, Melissa Kennedy, for putting this together for us. Thank you for that. Be sure to read that and see how you can be involved and to pray. And we're thankful for you doing that. I'm thankful for all of us pulling together. As Ms. Deborah said, we make it. Today, as we wrap up 2021, the last Sunday of 2021, the Lord put a word on my heart. And I feel led to bring it today of encouragement. As we exit out of 2021, as we enter into 2022, our expectations should be high because I believe that the Lord has great blessings ahead. Now, that doesn't mean there aren't going to be battles, there aren't going to be obstacles along the way, but the Lord wants to bless us. But there's something we have to do. There's something we have to do. We see in Joshua 24:15, the last phrase, the last sentence of Joshua 24:15 says this, "But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that you desire to encourage us today to draw closer to you, because your plan and your way is higher than ours. Lord, calls us to seek you today and reveal yourself to us even deeper. Lord, may our hearts be open, our spirits be open, Lord, to receive you today, to follow after you in all of our ways. You said that you would bless us, cause us to prosper. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Just before Joshua made this declaration in Joshua 24:15, a lot had happened. Matter of fact, he had spent the last 40 years living alongside Moses. Moses was a mentor to Joshua. Joshua was strengthened by Moses. Joshua watched Moses. The Lord spoke to Joshua. There was much that happened as Joshua gave this declaration. It was 40 years. The Bible says, or theologians say, that Joshua was about 19 years old, and here he was about 40 years later, about 59 years old. We see the story in Joshua 1, 2 through 9 is where we'll pick up, and I want to share with you some things I believe that God had brought about in Joshua's life that I believe that we can learn from today as we enter into this new year. Pick it up in Joshua 1, verses 2 through 9. "Moses, my servant, is dead." This is God speaking. He's talking to Joshua. "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I've given to them. The children of Israel, every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you. As I said to Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and to the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage. For to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? God says again, be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. God went into great detail reminding Joshua of all the things that Joshua had heard God speak to Moses. Moses was talking about these things all these 40 years to lead these people from where they were to where God wanted them to be. God had already made the provision. He had already given the land. He had already had the blessings in store. And so Moses was walking with these people, carrying them, encouraging them to do that. And Joshua was there the whole time. But God took the time after Moses had passed to speak to Joshua to remind him of all these details that God had lined up for them. Have you ever been in a point in life that you knew that you knew that you knew that you needed to be there, that God was doing something you didn't understand what it was? We've been there. We've been there. Crystal and I, in these almost 38 years of marriage, we have been to the place to where God would lead us. We didn't understand the fullness of it. We didn't understand what he was doing, but God led us there, and we knew that we knew that we knew beyond the shadow of any doubt that we were where we were supposed to be. And we stood in that spot. We stayed there. Now, with that, on the flip side, on the physical side of that, we were concerned about the obstacles that we saw that we needed to overcome in order to continue on. God put us there. God led us there. We had peace in that. We were in unity with that. But then also we knew that, God, this is much bigger than us. You've led us to this place. We've got faith and trust in you. We've got hope in you. But God, this is bigger than we are. It's amazing the plans that God has for each one of us as we enter into 2022. It's amazing. If we knew the details, if we knew the fullness of what God has planned for us, it possibly would scare us. But his way is perfect. His way is good. And so he leads us, giving us what we need to know as we go. He unfolds the things before us as we need to. See, he's trying to grow our faith. He's trying to grow our faith. And there comes a place that we've got to have a determination in us. We need to have a fire in us. We need to have an excitement in us that everything that God does is done well. He does everything perfectly. Well, what about this situation? What about that situation? Yes, there are things around us that we pray over and that we seek God's answer in. But none of that is beyond God's ability to move them, to change them, to even bring us through the fire if we have to go through the fire. That's not a big thing for God if he wants us to go through the fire. We can come out of the other side, as we know in the Bible that it happened, come out of the other side without the smell of smoke. That's the God that we serve. We need to learn that, relearn how big God is and how awesome God is and how amazing God is. God trusts us to fulfill his plan. He has put in you the ability to fulfill his plan greater than you are. His ways are higher. His abilities are higher than our abilities. As we've all been given talents and abilities to do different things, God will take those and stretch them beyond your ability, beyond your imagination. And so the same thing he did for Joshua. Joshua hadn't been to college. He didn't study what he was about to do. He didn't study the book on how to lead the people out of into the promised land. He didn't study that book. He didn't get a four-year degree. His mentorship came from another man of God. God brought them together as Joshua sought God. We'll see in the things I want to lay out here that Joshua took responsibility to follow God. And God spoke to him, as we see, and laid out the plan. So I'm certain that just as Joshua knew that he knew that he knew he was in the right place at the right time, he also knew that he had to have God to help him. Joshua didn't want to do it on his own. I don't want to do this on my own. As a matter of fact, I've told many of you, every single week I pray, God, you speak through me, or I don't want to speak. I don't want to stand here and say words from me without God's anointing, his leadership. You understand? And so God wants to use us to do things in life, but we need to do it under the anointing and under the unction of the Holy Spirit and to say as he wants us to say. What was required by Joshua to see the promised land? What's required of us to see our promised land? What's required of us to see the answers that we're praying for? What's required of us to see the provision, to see the open heavens, to see the things that we believe and trust God for, that we hope God will deliver? What is required of us? The first thing that Joshua did, he learned. Well, that sounds pretty basic, doesn't it? He learned. The old saying, you can't teach an old dog new tricks. Well, God could teach any of us anything as long as we're willing to learn. Have you ever tried to teach somebody something that didn't want to learn? They're probably not going to learn. They're probably not going to learn. As we go through life, if we have an attitude, and I see that in Joshua. Joshua had an attitude to learn. He wanted to learn more. That didn't mean that his mentor in life, in the physical life, was always perfect. Moses was not always perfect. Moses made some mistakes. Joshua even learned from those things. It's good that we can learn from mistakes that we've made. Chris and I meet with people from time to time and one-on-one, and we sometimes tell the mistakes that we've made. We don't mind sharing our mistakes if it'll help you not to make them. Amen. We've made enough for all of us. So let us share what not to do. Amen. We don't mind doing that. Joshua learned from the mistakes of Moses. And so when we see these things in life as God shows us, we need to learn. We need to have a heart to learn, to be eager to learn. And so Joshua did that. He was eager to learn. He saw Moses at his worst, and he saw Moses at his best, and he still continued a relationship with God. I'm not saying that God's going to speak to you through man. He will, but that's not the only way God speaks to you. God will speak to you directly. We have a relationship with God where we learn from God, but he also puts people in our life that aren't perfect, thank God. That helps encourage all of us, doesn't it? That we see that people aren't perfect and God is still using and speaking through them to help us to draw closer to God too. We can learn. And so Joshua made it a priority out of 40 years. You would think that somebody would get tired of somebody at 40 years. Well, I'm not tired of her yet. What, 38 years, which 37 years. February would be 37 years, and we dated for 4 years before that. She's not tired of me yet. I'm certainly not tired of her, as you can plainly see why. But after 40 years, man on man working, I'm sure they probably butted heads a couple times. They continued on. He learned. He learned. The second thing was Joshua was faithful. Joshua learned, eager to learn, and he was faithful. I'm sure there was plenty of times for Joshua to check out and say, you know what? You're a knucklehead, and I'm tired of serving with you. I'm going to go do my own thing. Plenty of times that Joshua could have said, you know what? I've matured to the point to where I really don't need you in my life anymore. I'm going to go ahead and take my own way. It's time for me to go my own way and to do my own thing. I think I am ready now to start church number 299. He didn't do that. He was faithful. He was faithful. If some of these trees around here had legs, when the storms came, when the tornadoes come, if they had legs, would they not maybe walk off, or would they stay there? See, the longer a tree is planted, the deeper its roots go. Had we taken this tree as it was young and plucked it up and said, you know what, I'm tired of it sitting there, put it here. A few weeks later, nah, I'm going to put it over here. Would that be a healthy tree? No, the roots wouldn't grow. So there can't be health in something that's jump, 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 jump. Faithful. Being faithful, it's amazing. The stability that comes through faithfulness in God. Over the years, I've seen brilliant people that are far more brilliant than I am, more talented, brilliant people seeing the possibility in their life. And before you know it, they're so brilliant that they've got an idea better than somebody else, so they jump out here and do something else. This has been years ago. And I'm not throwing off on anybody, so I'm not calling any names. I'm just saying that today that same person is floundering around, going in circles, still having the brightest idea of anybody in town. Isn't that amazing? Faithfulness. It's impossible to have fruit without faithfulness. Where there's no faithfulness, there's no fruit. The third thing Joshua had, he listened. He listened. You ever tried to answer somebody's question and you can't get a word in edgewise? They ask you a question and they keep on talking. Has that ever happened to anybody? I know they're anxious there. They got a lot to tell you. They got a lot to say. I need you to tell me how to do this. By the way, did you see the car yesterday? Yeah, that was a pretty car. Did you see the sun shining today? There's a cloud in the sky. Look at the bird, squirrel. But he listened. He listened. He took time to listen. It's hard to follow instructions unless you're listening. I hadn't thought about this in ages. Miss Melissa's been a teacher for a long, long time, and Crawford, matter of fact, was one of Miss Melissa's students. And for all I know, Melissa, I was one of your students too. I don't know. But I remember one year, I can't remember if it was middle school or the early stages of high school. It might have been 7th, 8th, 9th grade. Anyway, as I was praying this week, God dropped this, reminded me of this story I hadn't thought of in a long time. And we're sitting in class, and the teacher said, "I've got a pop quiz for you, and I need for y'all to follow the instructions. Look and read over the instructions, and then do as it says." And after, now looking back, it was brilliant. It was very smart, but it seemed like just a regular pop quiz at the time. She said, "There are 5 things on this sheet. Read through the instructions and do them, and you've got 10 minutes. So she passed the sheets out as she got everybody the sheets on their desk. Then she started the timer. And this is the way the instruction read. The first one is read chapter 1 in the book. So we were given a book. Read chapter 1. Number 2 was write a 1-page summary of chapter 1. The third one is put your name at the top of the page. Number 4 was take your paper to the teacher and leave class. Number 5 was ignore the first 4 and sit quietly. And it was amazing the work that people were doing. They hadn't read through the instructions. Come about 9 minutes in, people were putting their paper on the desk and leaving. Now, how they got that done is beyond me. Thank God I read through all 5 of them. I read through them, and I was sitting at my desk, and they were looking at me like, "What are you doing?" So I'm just sitting. They didn't take the time to read the instruction. We've got to listen. See, God is speaking instructions to our life to make life so much better. So much better. But we haven't taken the time to listen. We're busy. We're busy. We're busy trying to, "God, you understand, I'm busy. I don't have time to listen right now." He's saying, "But I've got a plan. I know you do, but I'm busy right now. As soon as I get done, then I'm going to listen to you." When the whole time we're outside of God's will, we're working on our own strength rather than working on God's strength. We've got to listen. Listen. And you know what? You don't have to spend days to develop an ear to listen. I mean, you've got to develop an ear to listen, but we can listen to God right now. As we were to stop right now, God is speaking. God never stops speaking. But we've got to listen. We've got to have our ear tuned to hear God. If you can't hear God when it comes time to listen, just start reading some pages out of the Bible. Just start reading some of this. You'll hear God speak. And every word in this book is life for us. I'm not slamming any books or any authors or anybody else. They've got to be found out of this book first. But the Bible should be our top priority of reading and studying. All the others are fine as long as they line up with God's word. But this should be our priority. Listen. Put ourselves in a place to where we can listen and hear God's voice. Joshua did that. We see the success that Joshua enjoyed came out of him listening to God's instruction. Joshua knew there was no way he could do what God had told him to do unless he listened to the instructions. There were 3 instructions that God gave to him. I'm going to take a moment to go through these. It says, as we read a while ago, in Joshua 1, the first one was be strong. Why would God tell Joshua to be strong? Because he knew that there would be times that he was tired and weak. And so Joshua learned that his strength came from God. God said, be strong. Ephesians 6, 10 through 12 says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." We can't live off of our own strength. Sooner or later, we will be tapped out. Our strength will only go so far. And a lot of times, it's a lot more than physical strength that I'm talking about. It's spiritual. It's emotional. Those are the ones that when we get to the end of our strength and emotion and spiritual, we just go off the deep end. And so our strength, we've got to know that comes through the power of God's might. He gives us strength. The second thing that God told Joshua was to be of good courage. Be of good courage. In other words, know that you can accomplish all the things that I set before you to accomplish. Yes, I know they're big, but God was basically saying, don't be fearful. Don't be afraid. Be of good courage. I'm with you, God said. He's saying the same thing to us today. Joshua is not out there on his own trying to do God's work by himself. No, God was right there with him. He said, be of good courage. Don't fear. I can imagine that Joshua at times felt overloaded with the responsibility that was given him. I mean, it was a lot of responsibility that Joshua was put on. Be of good courage, God told him. 1 Corinthians 16:13 says, watch, stand fast in the faith, be brave, be strong. The third thing God told Joshua was to meditate on God's word. Meditate on God's word. Psalm 86:11-13 is a perfect example of meditating on God's word. Teach me your way, O Lord. I will walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name. I will praise you, O Lord my God, with all my heart. I will glorify your name forevermore. For great is your mercy toward me, and you have delivered my soul from the depths of Sheol. Joshua meditated on God's word. He listened to the instruction of God. If I'm ever thinking about something or contemplating something, it's always on the forefront of my mind. I could be doing anything else, but at night, what I go to bed thinking of is kind of what simmers in my head and my mind through the night, through the morning. So when I wake up in the morning, God, he's dropping stuff in my head right and left. So before I go to bed, last night, for example, before I went to bed, I read through everything that I'm telling you today, and I let it simmer. I go to sleep, and I sleep good. When I get up this morning, God's saying, here's some more stuff. Add this to it. I mean, he's just dishing it out. God's awesome. So we've got to meditate on the word before we can see the fruit of God's word in our life. It's not hard to meditate on God's word. We just got to put it in there. What you put in there is going to roll around and ramble around. and it'll grow. And if it's something bad, then we get worried. We get anxious because that's what's in our head. Well, the way we get those things out is to put this in its place. So it's kind of like the old hard drive. You put this in it and it deletes the old files. This kind of pushes the old files out. It goes out and this comes in. And that's what's in. That's what's simmering. That's what's like a pot of stew in the oven. Praise God. We need to meditate on that. We need to learn that meditating on God's word prepares us to obey his instruction. Meditating on God's word prepares us to obey his instruction. Which, number four, Joshua obeyed God's instruction. Joshua obeyed God's instruction. I'm sure he was tired. There were times of loneliness. There were times of discouragement. There were times that he just felt like he was all by himself. Obedience requires action. Our obedience requires action. God promised to Joshua, all the things that we read a moment ago in Joshua 1. God promised all that to him. But notice that the things that God promised Joshua, he didn't take to him. He didn't say, okay, these are the things I promised you, and set it on his desk. Here are the deeds. Here's the paperwork. It's yours. The survey, when they get through the survey, they're going to send that to you. Notice that it says in Joshua 1, verse 2, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, watch this, arise and go. There was action to Joshua's obedience. It's going to be impossible to obey God without action. Action is required in obedience. To receive our promise, there's got to be action of obedience on our part. Why? God could drop it right here. Even salvation, God has paid the price for our salvation, but we've got to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, confess Him with our mouth, right? So even then, we've got action to take to receive God's salvation. He's provided for us, but there's action to be obedient to receive God's blessing. The promise is there. God's made the promise. He doesn't wait to make the promise to see if you're going to obey or not. Then say, okay, you're obeying. Let's put the hinges on it, put the nails together, and here's the key. No, He's already got it ready. It already has your name on it. The blessing is already there. The provision, see, they hadn't yet went to the promised land, and God told Joshua that here it is, and told him the exact spots. He said, everywhere you tread, everywhere your foot goes, that is yours. Joshua could have said, well, okay, guys, we can just sit. We're going to have a barbecue tonight. We don't have to go there. God's already promised it to us. We'll go there sometime, but at least we've already got the deed to it. No. They didn't receive it until they were obedient to go put the foot on it. So there's obedience that we've got to follow through to receive God's blessings. There are blessings. There are blessings beyond your imagination that as you obey God, God just pours out. There is no endless, there is no end to God's supply of blessing for you. Can I put it that way? God's blessings are endless for you. And the instruction God gives you is a lot of times bigger than your abilities to do it. God's instruction many times is bigger than your ability to do it. You know why God does that? It's so that you can walk in His strength to accomplish the things He's put before you. So that you can see, It's not a prideful thing at that point. It's like, God, had it not been for you, I could never have made it to this moment. Had it not been for your provision, for you opening those doors, for you to protect us. Crystal and I were talking the other day how God, even the slightest things in our life, we could say one thing about being concerned about this or being that, and it's like hours later that God has worked it out to where there's nothing to worry about. He shows us that he even senses our concern. Before it becomes worry or anxiety, we speak it and God works it out. There's an event that happened in the last few weeks that Chris and I were praying about, and we were at some points struggling about a decision to make, and it was yes or no. And we prayed about it, and we finally came to a peace and we decided no. We agreed, we're in unity, no. And then days later, we saw, you know what? Had we not said no, had we said something else, it could have been a trap that the devil put before us just to try to test us and to stick something in and wallow it around. But God said, you know what? That's a concern. I've got it taken care of. He gave us the answer to make. We made the answer. Based on what? Just peace that God gave us. We had nothing to go by except we prayed about it and we came into unity. That was the decision. And lo and behold, it was the right decision. Isn't that something? Because we heard God. We listened. And we followed, we obeyed, we did what He said to do. There are going to be times that the things that you dream for and hope for, you don't think they're ever going to come to pass. But even after the 40 years of Joshua being there and seeing what God was doing and being faithful in what God was doing and being obedient to what God was doing, he saw the promised land. God will bring that in your life as you're obedient. Your answer could be on the other side of your obedience. Your blessing could be just on the other side of your obedience. I want to point out something else too just before I move to point five, and that is obedience destroys pride. Obedience destroys pride. As we're obedient to God, sometimes it's tough to be obedient, but God, you don't understand. If I give into this, if I do this, then I'm just... So we make up excuses, things that would be against us. But obedience to God, God will protect you. We trust God to protect us. Our obedience destroys pride. Number five, Joshua conquered. Joshua conquered. He was not afraid to do what had to be done. He conquered. I'm not saying that he wasn't concerned. I'm not saying that there were probably some sleepless nights. But God placed in Joshua the ability to conquer, not to turn back. If we're not careful, we can try to conquer in our own strength. Well, I'm going to conquer that. I'm going to conquer that thing. I'm going to go after it. If we're doing it in our own strength, we'll be burnt out. Anytime we work and try to do things on our own without God, His instruction or His blessing, we will become burned out. But as we work, we can do so many things. We can do things beyond 24 hours a day as we do it in the strength of God. But if we do it in our strength, there's only, it's like gas in a car tank. It'll only go so far and then it's done. And burned out is not a place that we want to be. Burned out is not a place that God leads us to. God is pouring His Spirit in us so that we are continually fresh. We risk it. We have peace. And I just talked about peace the last few weeks. We receive God's peace. That is the key to fulfilling God's instruction, to have peace in Him. Because He gives us the peace and the confidence in Him to do everything He's called us to do. It's not confidence in this flesh. No, this flesh will fail, but it's through God's strength that He'll cause us to conquer anything that stands in the way of God's provision. And so there were some things that the children of Israel and Joshua had to conquer in order to make it to the promised land. It wasn't just all hunky-dory laid in place. Now, God's provision was there. He divided the water. He opened it up. He made everything fall into place as they stepped out to do it. And so God will open the door for you. God will do all these things, but there will be a conquering spirit in you that God will give you the fire in your belly to do what He's called you to do. And it could be something just as simple as living a life in front of your teammates, your workmates. That's important. If you don't do anything else except for go to work and to live a life of peace and joy and confidence in God, if that's your assignment, that is important. You know why? Because people will come to salvation through the life that they see God in you. That is important. You don't have to fly to Tokyo to do that. You don't have to go to China to do that. You can do it right here on St. Simon's in Brunswick. Because the assignment right here is just as important. Did you know that there are a lot of people not in church today because they've been hurt by someone, or they've been disappointed in God, or something has happened in their life and it has prevented them from even coming to church today? Out of 16,000-ish people on St. Simon's today, there's a fraction, a small fraction of that 16,000 that's in church this morning. And so those are the people that God may send you after. You may have a contact with someone that needs God that maybe I'll never see. God wants to use you to do that. And so our assignment, your assignment, every person's assignment is important. It's important. And God wants to use you to do that. So that even the peace of God is free, but it's going to take us to conquer some things in our life to live in God's peace. Salvation, as I said, is free, but it's going to take some action on our part, some conquering some things in my life to receive God's salvation. Your victory is promised by God. So why aren't we walking in victory? There are some things that we've got to conquer to receive God's victory. The victory is there. Victory over your situation is there. The answer to your situation is there. Ephesians 6:12 talks about spiritual warfare, and that's really what this is. And Paul says about spiritual warfare in Ephesians 6:12, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places." And so Joshua, he knew that spiritual warfare. He stayed close to God, and he wasn't going to back down. Not in his own strength, but in the strength of God. And our biggest battleground, we can go deeper on another Sunday on this, but our biggest battleground is right here. It's in our mind. 1 Peter 1:13 says, "Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind." Why is that important? Because in one place in the Bible it says, "As you think in your heart, so are you." Our mind, our mindset is important to conquering the things in our life that need to be conquered. "Gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace," look at this, "that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ." That's it, the basis of all of it. It's our mind. We need to recognize the enemies of our life. The enemies of our life come to deceive, come to kill, come to steal, come to rob, come to destroy. Those are the enemies of our life. And now is a great time to find out who your friends are and who your enemies are. If we give the enemy any opportunity whatsoever, these things will happen to us. Don't spend time with your enemy. Pray for you. The Bible says to pray and bless those who curse you and spitefully use you. But one's going to change the other. And so we've seen too many times to where the enemy comes in and there's time spent, and before you know it, the enemy has taken control over the situation. It's because we didn't recognize the tricks of the enemy and understanding that as we spend time with the enemy more than we spend time with God and his blessing, there comes deception, manipulation, robbing, killing, stealing, destroying, all those things. Joshua conquered the enemy. Joshua conquered because his mind was on God. He was seeking God. And let me say this for someone. The closer you are to your promise, the greater the battle. The closer you get to your promise, the greater the battle. You say, well, I don't understand why. It's like the devil's after me. Praise God. Praise God. He can't overtake you unless you allow him to overtake you. Because greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. So we stay tuned into God and we recognize that the closer we are to God's promise, the greater the battle will be. That's not to cause us to fear. That's to cause us to rejoice. Amen? Praise God. Because he will never be stronger than God. As long as we're trailing God, as long as we're in God's presence, as long as we have God in our life, as we see Joshua did, we can overcome anything. Anything, I said. We can overcome anything. Don't entertain your enemies. It could cost you your promise. Number six, Joshua declared his stand. Well, now, God knew Joshua's heart. Why did Joshua have to declare his stand? He did it for himself. See, what you speak and what you say will determine your faith in God. Oh, I can't do that. I should have known. So the things that you say could destroy your relationship with God. God hasn't left you. Sometimes we feel like God's left us because that's what we're saying. God's left us. He's saying, no, I haven't. Yep, God's left us. And so you believe what you're saying, which is contrary to the word of God. Learn how to speak God's word. Learn how to declare God in your life. So it's for your sake. God knows your heart, but he likes to hear it too. Say it for God's sake. Say it for your sake. Say it for those around you's sake. You know what? He's following God. She's following God. Declare. And you know what? So it takes every day to declare God. That may not be a bad practice. In the morning, make the declaration. We're going to do that in just a moment. Declare God. Has God been faithful to anybody in this room today? Amen. God has been faithful to every one of us. Does it mean that on December 25th at 6 a.m. we get everything we've ever hoped for? No, he's not Santa Claus. He's God. Right? And so there are some things that God's working in my life that I haven't yet obtained, but I continue to press in anyway. Because I trust God, his timing. See, he's trying to prepare me to receive my blessing. He's not preparing his blessing to come to me. His blessing's already there. He's just working in me to prepare me to receive that blessing. He doesn't want me to receive a blessing that's going to be a detriment to me. It's great. It's wonderful. But I'm not yet ready for it. And so I've got to trust God in that. I've got to trust God that, God, you're doing something along the way in me to when I get to that, I'll be a good steward of that and it won't distract me from being in your presence. I'll continue to be close to you even with receiving this great, wonderful blessing that you've prepared for me and got my name in gold, real fancy writing there. You're preparing me, God, to receive that. So Josh made the declaration to seal his commitment to God. Your words carry weight. Your words carry weight in your spirit. Your words carry weight in your atmosphere. So Joshua declared that to reiterate his stand with God. We need to declare our faith in God. We need to remind ourselves of where we stand with God. We need to remind ourselves of whose we are. Who do you belong to? The husband would say to her. The wife would say to him, no, who do you belong to? You belong to God. As a married couple, you belong to God. As a married couple, we belong to God. Yeah, we're committed to one another, but God is the head of our home. God is the head of our... And so to declare that, we need to remind ourselves whose we are and how great God is in our life. It's important that we do that. Joshua was successful. Why was he successful? I believe because he had a heart toward God. And all these things that we've read here today, Joshua 24:15 and 14 and 15 says, now therefore fear the Lord, serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. Serve the Lord. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. There's no room for negotiating there. It's tight. He went ahead and established it right there. Before we declare that today, I want us to do that. Number seven, my last point. Through this obedience, through all that Joshua did and all these characteristics that God had built in him, he experienced God's promise. Number seven, Joshua experienced God's promise. That is where you are headed as you do these things exactly the way Joshua did them, putting God the center of it. No matter what the obstacle is, no matter what fiery trial is coming your way, no matter what it looks like, no matter what you see coming in the future, you will experience God's promise as you devote yourself to God. Joshua 1:8 says, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then, say for then, for then, say it again, for then you will make your way prosperous. I didn't make that up. And then, say it again, and then you will have good success. I didn't make that up. So you're a prosperity preacher? Bless God, I am. Because it says it right there. Why wouldn't I be? Does anybody not want to prosper in the ways of God? Is there somebody that doesn't want good success in God? Yes. If the Bible says it, I believe it. The Bible says it, it's a promise. And God never lies. God never goes back on his word. For then, after these things, you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. That's exactly what Joshua experienced. Joshua experienced that. There's no limit to God's blessings on your life today. There's no cap. God doesn't say, okay, up to this point right here, it's kind of like a line of credit. You could draw on it into that. Okay, nope. You're getting close. Getting a 10-day warning. You got to pay that thing down. Mm-mm. Those blessings are way too much in your life. We've got to take some away. No. And so I declare that as we step into 2022, as we walk in the ways of God, there will be great success in your life. Now, that's not just money. That's in your health. That's in your relationships. That's in your job. That's in your family. In every part of your life, mind, soul, body, and spirit, in every part of your life, I declare there will be success in your life. So great to have Austin home from Virginia. And as he graduates in May, God has already given blessings to Austin before he's ever graduated. A few months ago, God said, you know what, Austin? I know your heart. And so I'm going to line these things up so when you graduate in May, I'm going to have all this set and ready to go. All you got to do is just show up. He's got to show up. You've got to show up. And so what I'm saying is this. God knows yesterday, he knows today, and he knows tomorrow. And as we move in God, as we do what Joshua did, as we declare our stance in God, that's what he's waiting on. God, some of you, God don't know whether you're in or whether you're out. Where are you? Whose do you belong to? Declare today whose you are. Declare today if you're in or you're out. God said you can be lukewarm and I really don't have any use for you. I'd rather you be out than be lukewarm. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. We need to learn. We need to be faithful to God. We need to listen. We need to obey. We need to conquer. We need to declare our stand with God, and in that, we will experience God's promise. That's a promise. Not from me, but from God. He says, in all your ways, you'll be prosperous. You'll have good success in all of your ways. So I want us to stand together. Crawford, you come on back up. I want us to stand together as we wrap up 2021. This could be a little strong for some, but sometimes the truth is that way. But I believe that the strong truth of God's word will cause us, I'm praying that cause us to be centered, to recenter on God. This is a good time to do that. So as we approach New Year's Day next Saturday, January 1st, 2022, we'll be geared up and ready and excited about what God's about to do. Now you, if you've made a mistake this morning or yesterday or day before, don't worry. God's grace and mercy will cover over anything that you've done. You say, well, I've just gone way too far. God doesn't love me. God loves you. I am the reason why Jesus came and laid down his life. It wasn't for those that are perfect and got everything together. They don't think they need Jesus. But you know what? I need Jesus. And you do too, or you wouldn't be here today. So God wants to speak his